Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Am I Doing This Wrong? The podcast where two millennials try to figure out all of life's hard-hitting questions. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. And if you're tuning in on YouTube, thanks for joining the visual conversation.
And we'd love to hear how you are doing it wrong. So email us at wrongthepodcast@gmail.com and head over to Instagram and follow us there at wrongthepodcast. Now guys, please don't forget, we are not doctors nor experts. We are just two friends trying to figure it out. So with that being said, enjoy the show. Yeah, I just started I started book two out of a three-part series. So one of my interpreter friends, we were working a job together and it was pretty slow. And she brought two books with her. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, you know, I'm starting this book. So, you know, if you want to start this one, or, you know, she kind of gave me pick. And I was like, yeah, like this one's, it's like sci-fi fantasy. So I was like, yeah, I'll read it, you know, not thinking that I was really going to get into it. And, you know, 2 weeks later, and I ordered the entire series. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's like, I think I was telling you this. It's like if Twilight were adult and also better.
Yeah. Well, tell the people what the book is.
Yeah. So the first one is called Discovery of Witches. And the second one that I'm reading right now, I have it on my nightstand. It's called Something Shadows. I can't think of it right now, but it's a three-part series by Deborah Harkness. And yeah, if you're into sci-fi fantasy books, it's got witches, it's got demons, it's got vampires. But it also has a lot of like historical relevance, which I really like. So it actually ties to real events that have happened in the past and how those events were like in these books, like shaped by the existence of witches, demons, and vampires. Yeah.
That's cool. I like that. Mm-hmm. I did start watching the show. I think it came out last year or the year before.
Okay.
So I did start the show. I did not keep up with it, though. But I was interested. This is definitely up my alley. So I will put it on my list. Yeah. I haven't read anything lately. I did finish, like, a murder mystery book, like, a month ago. But I haven't picked up a new one. Hmm. I did order a few. I'm notorious for that, though. I'm so bad at, like, buying books and then not reading them.
I mean, yeah. You have to find the time. And I usually would try and, you know, carve out like a few hours of like a Saturday morning or something like that.
Yeah.
But I really was like seriously invested in the first book, and yeah, just getting into the second one, I can tell I really like it. So I've been catching myself trying to read it more often than not. Like I was at another job and it was slow and I was like, ugh. I could have my book right now.
Yeah.
So that's the kind you want, you know, not just like, oh, it looks interesting. It's like once you start reading, you feel like, okay, I want to keep up with this.
Yes.
Yeah. I think right now, aside from that, I have like four books that I had started.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I do that too. If I'm reading something, I'm reading like four things at once. out of control.
But yeah, it's good. I'll keep you updated. Yeah, I didn't know that there was a show when I first started reading it. Mm. But I am still going to finish the books first before I even go towards that. Because, yeah, I don't really know if I would love the adaptation. I mean, we'll see. We'll get there. You know, like I said, keep you posted. So
yeah. Fair.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, but we have a full episode ahead of us. So
it's meaty.
It is a lot. This is good. Yeah. What are we talking about?
So we are talking about dreams.
Yes.
And this was really interesting. And there's just so much to go through, you guys. So we're probably going to break this up a little bit. But the research was super fascinating. Ryan and I are both always like trying to dissect our dreams or figure out what the universe is trying to tell us. So we're like, let's talk about it.
Yeah. And this comes kind of off the heels of our first episode a while back about sleep. We both really liked that episode, and we are going to have some follow-ups to that one as well, because there was a lot more there, but this seemed like the next best step. So,
yes. Yeah, definitely. That one definitely opened some doors, and then this one is definitely going to do the same.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Let's get into it.
Yeah. All right. So, what does it mean when we dream? So, dreams are stories and images that our mind creates while we sleep. They can be entertaining, fun, romantic, disturbing. Disturbing. Sorry. I don't know why I thought I said that wrong. Disturbing, frightening, and sometimes bizarre. So, some of the causes might be representing unconscious desires and wishes, interpreting random signals from the brain and body during sleep, consolidating and processing information gathered during the day, working as a form of psychotherapy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Just like inherently?
I mean, I guess so. But I mean, if you are doing some kind of therapy or like dream work, mm-hmm. I wonder if that's, it could. I mean, if you are doing some kind of therapy where you're bringing up maybe some kind of memories or going through, you know, some kind of behaviors or something, mm-hmm. I wonder if that's what it means.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Yes, I do actually know a person, which I won't plug because I don't know if they advertise this like outwardly, but it's a person that I met in when I was still in California. Mm-hmm. And she is a tarot reader, but she also does like a lot of other spiritual things that I don't think I know all about, but she does, yeah, like all kinds of different readings and stuff like that. And one of the things that she does is, I don't know if she calls it dream therapy, but it's something along those lines. So I'll try and find that out for part two and see if maybe we can plug that person, you know, maybe give them a shout out. And see if, you know, who knows, have them on the podcast. So,
yeah. Ooh, that's interesting. That. Yeah. So, from evidence and new research methodologies, researchers have speculated that dreaming serves the following functions. So, the first one is offline memory reprocessing, in which the brain consolidates learning and memory tasks and supports and records waking consciousness.
Yes. A lot of times you'll hear folks talk about if they're learning like something like a language or a new skill, that tends to pop up pretty often, which makes sense, right? Because you need your sleep to, you know, kind of, solidify those things within your brain. So that makes sense.
Right. To store them like from short term to long term.
Yes.
Memories. Yeah. So the next one is preparing for possible future threats. This is probably me.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. I'm always on high alert. Cognitive stimulation of, or no, cognitive simulation of real life experiences. As dreaming is a subsystem of the waking default network, the part of the mind active during daydreaming.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, we all daydream, but that's interesting to think of a simulation. I mean, I guess a dream is a simulation if you want to get, like, sci-fi with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it literally kind of is, though, right? Like, it's literally a simulation. It's not real life. It's just like a depiction of life, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Helping develop cognitive capabilities, like we said. So retaining some information if you're like learning something. Okay. So the next one is reflecting unconscious mental function in a psychoanalytical way.
What?
Reflecting unconscious mental function in a psychoanalytical way.
I don't know. That's word salad. I don't know what that means.
That's
what?
Right. I know. I feel like there's a lot to unpack in that one. Unconscious mental function. So mental function we're not conscious of in a psychoanalytical way. So next.
Sure.
Next. A unique state of consciousness that incorporates experience of the present, processing of the past, and preparation for the future.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And also, too, like, it's probably, you know, it's obviously pulling from, yeah, your, like, memories that you already have or things that you've already seen, but you may have just not taken note of.
Yeah.
But it seems like it could only really have an effect on your future. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only right. thing that's left.
Right. So. That's true. So. And the last one is a psychological space where overwhelming, contradictory, or highly complex notions can be brought together by the dreaming ego, notions that would be unsettling while awake, serving the need for psychological balance and equilibrium.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
I've never heard of the dream ego.
Yeah, me neither.
Man, there's so many routes that we could just, like, go off on. But
there's so much. I know. Remind me, what is ego?
What is
like,
ego?
Like Sigmund Freud ego.
Like the Sorry. Actual definition of ego?
Like there's your id, your ego, and your what's the third one?
Id, ego, and superego.
Okay.
So it says, so just to go to the definition of it. It says the part of the mind that mediates between the conscious and the unconscious and is responsible for the reality, and is responsible for reality testing and a sense of personal identity.
So I wonder if your dream ego is like your dream personality.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Because there is, like, which we'll get into, but there is, like, a sense of consciousness within yourself in the dream, even though you don't really have much control over anything, but especially the outside factors, right? The external factors you don't really have control over.
Right.
So that's like you reacting or like how you show up in your dreams, right?
Oh.
So like some people fly, right? Some people are falling. Some people are, you know, running away, but they can't run fast enough, right? Which has its own connotations, right?
Yes. I'm just going through like dreams I have. Like, and we will get to dream interpretation, so I'm not going to go too much into this. So I'm just going through, like, it's not always the same scenario, but there are a lot of scenarios where, like, I'm trying to do something, but I can't, like, get it done, or I can't do it, yeah. like, ugh.
Yes, that's very common, but it is also much more common with, like, you know, anxiety, you know, obviously, comes with those things, so... All right, so let's talk about the different phases of your sleep cycle when you are sleeping. So, stage one, we have light sleep, which is slow eye movement and reduced muscle activity. So, when you first start to fall asleep. And this stage forms 4% to 5% of total sleep. So, that's kind of interesting, though. Because I feel like I can take a nap. Is that all light sleep then, I guess?
It's probably.
Yeah. Oh, because yeah. I guess, yeah, on the scale of like, a nap of 30 minutes versus like, you know, if you're getting your 6 to 8 hours, that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. You can take a nap in 30 minutes?
Yes, easily.
I cannot fall asleep like that.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. No.
Well, you know what actually really helps, not to just like plug this, but reading. I literally read to fall asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah, I can't have my phone. I won't fall asleep. You know, that I will not fall asleep.
Right.
But now with my schedule, since it is different, you know, and sometimes I work late, sometimes I work, you know, at different points in the day, I can get in a nap in like 45 minutes. Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. Okay.
So that's stage one.
Okay.
Stage two is eye movement stops and brain waves become slower with occasional bursts of rapid waves called sleep spindles. That's a cool term. Sleep spindles. Sounds like an emo band.
It does.
And this stage forms 45 to 55% of total sleep. So very important.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Then we have stage three, which is extremely slow brain waves called delta waves. And these begin to appear interspersed with smaller, faster waves. And this accounts for 4 to 6% of total sleep.
Interesting. So I wonder, I mean, are these waves where your dreams come in? Is that what it's saying? Like,
that sounds about right because, well, it does only account for a small percentage. So possibly, I was thinking it was stage two because it says your brain waves become slower with occasional bursts of rapid waves called sleep spindles. So I don't know. We'll find out. Obviously, we have a lot of research to get through. But it sounded like that might be where the dreaming happens because apparently you have like hundreds of dreams or something like every night.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
you dream a few times a night. Like, it's not just that one dream that you might remember.
Right. And well, I've heard it's like a lot of dreams per night.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's, yeah. And you just remember, like, the most impactful or just the ones that were closest to when you actually were out of that sleep cycle.
Right, know? Right.
But.
Okay.
You know, like, you've been woken up during a dream, right? Like, that happens.
Yeah.
And then you're able to recall it a little bit easier. But And then we have stage four, which is when the brain produces delta waves almost exclusively. So going back to stage three, what those delta waves are. But it says it is difficult to wake someone during stages three and four, which together are called deep sleep. So there is no eye movement or muscle activity. And people are awakened while in deep sleep, do not adjust immediately, and often feel disoriented for several minutes after waking up. And this forms 12 to 15% of total sleep.
Okay.
Yeah. I hate that when you're like woken up, like, I hate being woken up in general.
I mean, you are a scary person to wake up. You wake up like very... I mean, I guess it depends on what stage of sleep you're in. But from experience, I know waking you up occasionally, you wake up like, you know, there's a fire or something. You just jump up and look so panicked. It's very jarring.
It's so funny because that is my mom. Like, my mom is the exact same way. Like, she wakes up like, yeah, where's the fire? Like, right. You know, what's going on? You know?
Right.
When I wake up naturally, obviously it's not exactly the same. I'm not like jumping out of bed, but for whatever reason, whatever is tied to like my, unconscious when I'm sleeping to like being into the conscious, I don't know what it is, but yeah, I feel like panicked. I'm like, what's going on? You know?
Right.
There's never anything going on, but
there, yeah, no. But, I mean, it's useful. If there ever was something going on, at least you're, alert.
I will be ready. Yes. And then moving on to stage five. So this stage is known as rapid eye movement, or what we all, you know, usually say REM sleep. And this is where breathing becomes more rapid, irregular, and shallow. Eyes jerk rapidly in various directions, and limb muscles become temporarily paralyzed. So your heart rate increases, your blood pressure rises, and males develop penile erections, or just people with penises develop penile erections. So when people awaken during REM sleep, they often describe bizarre and illogical tales. These are dreams. Oh, and this stage accounts for 20 to 25% of total sleep time.
Okay.
Interesting. So this is, okay, so according to this article that we have here, this is actually where, you know, the dreams happen. Or at least this is what it's saying, that where dreams happen in REM sleep. So I'm not sure, maybe we'll get into it, but I'm not sure if only dreams happen during the REM cycle. But that's what it describes in this article, so.
Interesting. And I don't know if we have it in the notes, but I wonder... Because there are the five, okay, so it's the sleep cycle. So, I mean, I've taken naps and, like, had dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think there's any specific time limit. And obviously, if you can have multiple dreams a night, you're probably going through these cycles multiple times.
Right, yeah.
Which makes sense. Like, sometimes when you wake up in the middle of the night, things like that, you know?
Yeah. But I do sometimes feel like I have a, like, even though I probably don't, but sometimes I feel like I have dreamless sleep, and it's usually when I'm really exhausted, which I wonder if, you know, mental exhaustion is really different than physical exhaustion, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Me being tired from an actual workout versus being tired from, like, you know, the job I did that day or just whatever I did was mentally draining, right? Maybe being emotionally drained or something. Like, I feel like I have a lot more dreamless sleep those nights, but I wonder if that's just because my mental is so tired. I don't know. That's kind of interesting. I'd wonder about that. Hmm.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, this is raising more questions than answers. Like,
I know. It's Well, yeah, because like you said, I think we will get into it, but like there's so much research been done on it. And yet there's like more unanswered questions the more research.
Right.
You know?
Yes, exactly.
Which is like science. But I think when you're talking about, like psychoanalytics or, social sciences, which I don't know if this is social. Is this social science? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Or neuroscience. I guess this would be
neuroscience. Probably more neuro. But we just, like most of the research said, like it's very hard to study dreams.
Right.
It really is, you know, they can like study the brain activity. Obviously we went through the five stages and like we know what the body is doing.
Right.
During these different points, but like that's kind of it, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is just more based off of like, you know, centuries and centuries of shared experiences, seeing things, right? Or experiencing things while you were asleep. And then when you come to consciously, you're trying to describe whatever that is, but you already have a bias because now you're awake, right? Like just like, you know, eyewitness reports, like they're not very helpful because you're already putting in your own bias of what you think you saw, right? Like your brain is trying to piece things together that may not be able to be easily pieced together.
Right. So, right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. All right. So what are dreams? Dreams are a universal human experience that can be described as a state of consciousness characterized by sensory, cognitive, and emotional occurrences during sleep. The dreamer has reduced control over the content, visual images, and activation of the memory. There is no cognitive state that has been as extensively studied and yet as frequently misunderstood as dreaming. So basically, exactly what we were just saying. There are significant differences between neuroscientific and psychoanalytic approaches to dream analysis. Neuroanalysts are interested in the structures involved in dream production, dream organization, and narratability. However, psychoanalysis concentrates on the meaning of dreams and placing them in the context of relationship in the history of the dreamer.
Okay. So when it says they're focused on like a lot of things, including narratability, does that mean like you're like the person's ability to describe the dream afterward or the person's ability to actually be able to be like a participant in the dream? You know what I mean? Like, I wonder what that means.
Off of first assumption, I would go with what you first said.
Okay.
Like their ability to recount the dream.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it sounds like the neuroscientists are going for, I mean, they're going more for like the structures, like what did it say? Production, organization.
Yeah.
And then the psychoanalysis is more of the like the content and the context.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, so
because it's always it's interesting because when you're usually recounting a dream, you're like, you almost remember the gist. So you're like, I was in a cave, you know, or whatever.
Yes,
and then you have to like go back and be like, but wait, but the cave was actually like in, you know, like in Japan, and so like, you know, it's like you have to keep adding back layers to what
that's
happened.
That's so true. That's so true. Like, if someone tells you about their dream, it's never, like, a linear, like, start to finish.
Right, no.
No, that's so true. So, reports of dreams tend to be full of emotional and vivid experiences that contain themes, concerns, dream figures, and objects that correspond closely to waking life.
Okay.
So, these elements create a novel, quote, reality out of seemingly nothing, producing an experience with a lifelike time frame and connections.
Okay.
Yeah. So, to get into some examples, the first one was nightmares.
Yeah.
So nightmares are distressing dreams that cause the dreamer to feel a number of disturbing emotions. Common reactions to nightmares include fear and anxiety. They can occur in both adults and children, and causes include stress, fear, trauma, emotional difficulties, illness, or use of certain medications or drugs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. The next one is lucid dreaming, which we did talk about in our sleep. Didn't we talk? We talked about that, right?
We touched on it, yes.
We touched on it in our sleep episode, yeah. So lucid dreaming is when the dreamer is aware that they are dreaming. They may have some control over their dream.
Okay.
So this happens to me, especially if, like, I'm sleeping through my alarm clock.
Really?
Have you had that where you, like, you dream that you have, like, gotten up and started getting ready? No? This happens to me a lot.
Oh, my gosh. So, weirdly enough, I just saw, like, a post online about that, about somebody. It was a joke, but then there was, like, a whole thread of people, like, basically saying, yeah, me too. And they were like, how do I explain to my boss that I was up and ready 30 minutes early, but then I woke up and, like, actually had to get ready?
Right.
And I was just like, what the hell? You know, and so as I was reading the comments, some people in the comments were basically like, yeah, this has happened to me multiple times. Like, I have, like, the whole routine down. And most people that mentioned it were very, like, I don't know about strict, but they were pretty habitual. Like, they were pretty habitual people. Yeah. And so they were like, I do the same thing every morning. Like, I go into this room, I turn on this, like, da-da-da. And so it was almost as though, yeah, like, their body was still responding maybe to their alarm, right, in the way that they usually would, except they were not fully awake, which is... It's kind of scary to me.
It sounds a little bit scary because they're, like... A lot of times I'll get to a certain point in the dream where I'll be like, this isn't real. Like, I'll think to myself, like, so I am slightly awake, or I do have some control, because I can tell myself, like, you're not actually doing this.
Right, right.
And then I'll either, like, open my eyes, or my alarm will go off again, or something, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that happens quite a bit to me.
Yes. The only few times that I can remember something similar to that happening was when I have to use the bathroom. And so I will picture myself, or, you know, I'm dreaming myself going to the bathroom, walking in, and just as I start to, like, you know, maybe, like, feel like I'm sitting down to use the bathroom, I, like, wake up, or I kind of, like, snap out of it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of scary.
Right. Yeah. No, that's true. You're like, it's a close call. Yeah. Especially that bathroom one. So this measure of control can vary between lucid dreams. They often occur in the middle of a regular dream when the sleeping person realizes suddenly that they are dreaming. So some people experience lucid dreaming at random, while others have reported being able to increase their capacity to control their dreams. So you definitely are going to have to let us know about that person you were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Because is it, like, dream work, like, therapy, or is it, like, lucid dreaming control? I'd be interested to know.
No, like, I think it – I mean, again, yeah, I don't know. You're right. It totally could be. But this person does have their their master's degree in, social work, or, like, MFT, marriage, family therapy. I think it's, like, somewhere around there. So I know it has to do with therapy and, like, what that entails, especially, like, incorporating, like, the spiritual side or spiritual realm into that.
Okay.
But, yes, no, I will definitely report back, because I thought about doing it, but I don't know. I do think a part of me is still kind of hesitant, because that's a little bit scary. I went to... Or not even scary, but just, like, unnerving. But I went to one of their, she has, like, she puts on, like, workshops, like, a lot of different workshops. But this one specifically was during the height of the pandemic, probably end of the summer 2020. And I was on Zoom, but I was kind of busy. I was, like, doing things, but I was still listening from my phone. And they were just talking about, like, different things. And then she had us do a few exercises where we had to do, like, breathing exercises and, like, visualization exercises. And it was basically, like, for that one specifically, it was, like, breathing exercises that helped you visualize yourself more calm and less anxious and like in a better state? And like, what did that look like for you? Right. Mm-hmm. And that was really interesting because it was really helpful. But I ended up like by the end, like just hearing everybody else speak about it and being so vulnerable, I had like tears in my eyes. Like it was very like, it was just very impactful. I can't even really describe it completely. But so I'll be interested. I'll definitely follow up with her and try to see if we can, you know, do something to get some more information on that.
Ooh, yeah.
So it was more of the therapy focus
route.
Now,
okay.
I'll say that.
Got it. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So now talking about forgetting dreams, right? So studies of brain activity suggest that most people over the age of 10 years old dream between 4 to 6 times each night, but some people rarely remember dreaming. So this is kind of what we were talking about because some mornings you feel like I just laid my head down, you know,
right?
which sucks, but
yeah.
And so it is often said that 5 minutes after a dream, people have forgotten 50% of its content, increasing to 90% another 5 minutes later.
Wow.
Yeah. Can you attest to that?
I know I don't remember all of my dreams, but I have some pretty wild dreams. I should write them down because some of them are like I mean, I'm like, that would be a cool movie. Like, they're pretty wild.
You should. You should start keeping a dream journal. It's really effective. It's really effective.
Have you written them down? Do you have a dream journal?
Yeah. Well, I did one in high school in AP Psych. Yeah. I took AP Psych, AP for all the high schoolers. If you know, you know. It probably wasn't that much different from actual, like, the regular psychology class, but it was AP, so, like, we didn't have homework, you know?
Right.
but it was AP Psych, and we did a dream journal for, like, I think we did it for, like, a month, I want to say.
Okay.
Which, of course, it's high school, so people are just, like, writing in random shit at the end of the month. But I did mine pretty good for, like, I'd say, like, maybe a week and a half or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then there was probably, like, a dance coming up, and I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Right, yeah.
But... No, I did. I did it. And I remember it was very effective after like day 4. Like, ooh. I started remembering like multiple things about my dreams. I could remember like the setting. I could remember like, you know, like looking around in the dream. Like, a lot more detailed. And I also felt like at first when I was writing my dreams, they were kind of random. But as I started remembering them or just like doing this practice, I felt like the dreams started to evolve into more like profound dreams within my life that actually applied to my life, which was super interesting. Yeah. So that's at first really I felt like they were random. Yeah. Just like random shit going on. Yeah. But as I started to try to do this practice, I felt like they became more, applicable to my life, which, you know, could just be that I was, you know, making those assumptions, but it did feel like they weren't as random. You know what I mean? Some dreams are like, I was in a balloon and then like I walked into a grocery store, you know?
Right.
Like, it's just like random shit, you know?
No, so. That's true. Ooh, that's interesting. Okay. Noted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely going to try that.
Yeah. So just to continue. So most dreams are entirely forgotten by the time someone wakes up, but it is not known precisely why dreams are so hard to remember. So steps that may help to improve dream recall include 1, waking up naturally and not with an alarm. That's interesting. 2, focusing on the dream as much as possible upon waking. 3.
I try to do that one. If I have like a wild dream, I try to like imagine it so I can like, you know, call you later and tell you about it.
Yes. No, that's super true. 3, writing down as much about the dream as possible upon waking, like we talked about, you know, journaling, dream journals. And 4, making recording dreams a routine.
So the journal is the way to go.
Yes. Yeah. So, okay, I will say, though, waking up naturally does help. I will say
That's true.
Yeah. You know what I mean? For obvious reasons, right? Like, you're not... Because you're not, like, immediately starting your routine, right? Unless you can just, like, wake up naturally. Actually, a lot of people do. Fuck those people.
Whatever.
Just, like, wake up on time. Yeah. Just, like, oh, it's 6:30. Like, yawn. Let's, like, go start the day.
Ugh. Boo. But no, that's true, right? Because you set your alarm because you have something to do. So, like, right. Once that alarm hits and you wake up, like, whatever is, like, upcoming for that day is what you start thinking about.
Yes,
so exactly. It just totally, you know,
yeah,
cuts off that dream memory.
Right. Which, like, also think about looking at our phones immediately, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
A journal would be a lot better writing it down because it's a blank slate, right? You're just writing, you're creating that. Whereas looking at a phone is immediately, you're going to be thinking about the time. All the, like we said, all the biases are going to come back, clouding your judgment really quickly, right?
Right.
So, however, I do like, making recording dreams a routine. So a podcast I was listening to, this was a few months ago, but the guest on there was talking about their therapist recommended them to start recording their dreams, or I'm sorry, to start recording themselves at night. Mm-hmm. Because they noticed, like, I think their partner might have noticed that they talk a lot during their sleep or something. And so, and this person's a comedian, so they were like, is this good material? Like, you know, kind of thing. But it was super interesting because they did actually have, like, full-on conversations. It's kind of bizarre.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, like, they're trying to record that while also think about whatever they might, you know, have been dreaming about, you know, kind of piecing that together, which I was like, oh, that's wild. That's like
that
a whole
wild.
Whole conversation that you never, you know, realized you had until you woke up and you were like listening back to yourself while you were asleep.
You
know,
I feel like that just opens up a door to a side of you you might not want to see.
Why?
I mean, you're like, you're just trying to get some rest, right? Like, now you're going to be worried about, like, what you're doing in your sleep. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's totally interesting. Like, this episode is so interesting and, like, all of this. But.
I mean, I see where you're coming from. That could be a little bit nerve-wracking. I don't know how I would feel about falling asleep knowing that I'm being recorded. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like that would kind of mess with my mental a little bit to try and fall asleep. I don't know. That, because, like, when they played, like, they played just, like, a little clip of, like, you know, one of their recent things. Apparently, there's, like, dream trackers, like apps that you can, like, set and they'll record it and kind of try to make, like, a linear, you know, sense of it, you know, instead of just a really long recording with a bunch of blank time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That, to me, I mean, I do get what you're saying in that respect because, like, to me, I don't know if I'd want to hear that. Yeah, like... I don't know. Like, you'd be saying anything, you know? It doesn't even necessarily mean it's tied to you. But now since you hear yourself saying it, you're like, oh, my God, do I really think that? You know?
Right. Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, you'd probably get used to it, though, after a while, as far as being recorded. But it just feels like a little too, like, the beginning of, like, Paranormal Activity to me.
Yes.
That's what it kind of feels like, you know?
Definitely. Oh,
definitely. With the talking, and if you're, like, a sleepwalker... I don't want to see that in, like, night vision camera, you know what I mean?
No, exactly. I mean, that's kind of how I feel. This is completely off topic, but that's kind of how I feel about the Ring doorbells, like the cameras.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't think I actually want to know every single person that walks by the door. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody walks up to the door and decides to not knock on the door, do I really need to know that they were there? Like...
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's
the
like
paranoia would be real. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah, again, really, I don't have kids, so that's a completely different thing. You know, I understand, you know, not just that people have kids, but like if you have kids that are, you know, maybe around the teens age and you're leaving them alone at home, I totally understand that. That's a different level of like security that you get to have. You know what I mean? Like that's a little bit different.
We're very lucky they didn't exist when we were.
We are very lucky they didn't exist. I would have never gotten away with taking anybody's car out.
Right. No. Yeah. Half the shit.
That's so funny. Oh, my gosh. Your parents would have never gotten any sleep. Well, I don't know how they ever got
I don't know
sleep
how
anyway.
They got sleep with what we did do. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's wonderful. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So who remembers their dreams? So there are factors that can potentially influence who remembers their dreams, how much of their dream remains intact, and how vivid it is. So some of those factors, age being one. So over time, a person is likely to experience changes in sleep timing, structure, and EEG activity, which the E is electroencephalographic activity, or EEG, for sure. evidence suggests that dream recall progressively decreases from the beginning of adulthood, but not in older age. Dreams also become less intense. So this evolution occurs faster in men than women, with gender differences in the content of dreams. Yeah. So then we also have gender as well, although we do know gender is a construct. But a study of dreams experienced by 108 males and 110 females found no differences between the amount of aggression, friendliness, sexuality, male characters, weapons, or clothes that feature in the content. However, the dreams of females featured a higher number of family members, babies, children, and indoor settings than those of males. Yeah.
Interesting. I do have dreams that I have a baby sometimes.
I've had a dream like that.
Yeah. It's not my, I mean, it's usually not my baby. Yeah, I was like, but it's like a baby I have to take care of.
Yeah. No, I've had dreams like that. I've had dreams where, yeah, I had, like, there was a baby around.
Yeah.
Or I was holding it, or, you know, like, it was around, though. Like, I felt a baby presence.
Yes.
Which I don't know what they feel like, but it was around. You know?
Yes, yes. Yeah, no, that's true. Same, same.
Yeah, so sleep disorders. So, so this might be one of the reasons that, you know, impacts the way you remember dreams. So, sleep disorders. Dream recall is heightened in patients with insomnia, and their dreams reflect the stress associated with their condition. So, the dreams of people with narcolepsy may have a more bizarre and negative tone. Yeah. That sucks.
That does suck. Because you don't have control, but it makes sense because nightmares do come from, like, stress, anxiety, right? So,
right.
Or can come from those things. So,
right.
If your sleep is the thing that is causing that?
I know.
That stinks.
Well, yeah. And I was also thinking because, like, you know, folks with narcolepsy, which I don't know the, you know, the scientific definition, but it's basically like when you, you know, you can't, like, you involuntarily fall asleep. To my knowledge, it might be different. I don't know. Let us know if we're wrong on that, too. But... I could see, at first I was thinking, I was like, oh, well, then that just means like you dream more. But I now am realizing that because you don't have control over that, that might actually cause you stress, right? You're like, fuck, I'm asleep again. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's interesting. So next being dream recall and well-being. So one study looked at whether dream recall and dream content would reflect the social relationships of the person who is dreaming. So college student volunteers, of course they were college students.
Right.
So they only want to have the time.
Right.
college student volunteers were assessed on measures of attachment, dream recall, dream content, and other other psychological measures. It's just, it's these fucking S's. And other, I want to say physiological, and that's not even, it's easier than
that's
that.
That's a harder word, yeah. I know.
And other psychological measures. So participants who were classified as high on an insecure attachment scale were significantly more likely to, 1, report a dream, 2, dream frequently, and 3, experience intense images that contextualize strong emotions in their dreams.
Okay.
So when it says, hold on, I wanted to go back to that. So it says participants who were classified as high on an insecure attachment scale. Oh, that's interesting. So they were more likely to report dreams. I wonder if that's just like people pleasing. Like they just want to report something.
Well, going back, I mean, if we're thinking about like stress and anxiety, if they do have like attachment issues or a lack of security in in those ways.
Yes.
Maybe that's.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And then older volunteers whose attachment style was classified as preoccupied were significantly more likely to, 1, report a dream, and 2, report dreams with a higher meaning number of words. Oh, no. Report dreams with a higher mean number of words. Mean, like bad, like you're mean.
I don't know.
Or does it mean like median mean?
Right. Like, yeah. You know? Like an average.
Right. Yeah. A higher mean number of words. Mean is interesting. That seems way too subjective to use in a study.
Right.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. And then last, just to wrap up, it says dream recall was lowest for the avoidant subjects and highest for the preoccupied subjects. So see that, but see, that's what I'm saying. That kind of makes sense why your biases come into play. Because if you have an avoidant style, right? Or like an avoidant attachment style,
yeah.
It seems as though you would be least likely to be like, oh yeah, give you like the inner workings of like my brain.
Exactly, you know? What I thought. Yeah.
If
you had a dream about something you don't want to talk about and you're a kind of person who doesn't want to talk about things.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Then you're not going to report it.
Right, yeah. Whether they scared you or, you know, or made you happy or whatever, all of it is, you know, leading to the fact that you have to be vulnerable, which is not what you want to do.
So, right. Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. No, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about who dreams. Everyone. But at different times of life or during different experiences, our dreams might change. So for children, a study investigating anxiety dreams in 103 children between the ages of 9 and 11 observed the following, that females females more often had dreams containing anxiety than males, although they could not remember their dreams as often. Hmm. Okay. So girls dreamt more often than boys about the loss of another person, falling, socially disturbing situations, small or aggressive animals, family members, and other female people they may or may not recognize.
Hmm. Okay. So female figures of some sort.
Yeah. Which is interesting. I don't know where I heard this, but maybe you have. You can tell me if you've heard this. That you can't make up a face. Like your mind can't make up a face that you haven't seen before. Have you heard that?
No. That's interesting, though.
So, like, even if you dream of someone you don't know, it could just be that you, like, saw their face at the grocery store.
Oh, okay.
And I really don't know if that's true. Definitely slide into our DMs if you guys know. But I cannot tell you where I heard that. It was years ago.
Huh. I don't know how you would figure that out, but that's interesting.
I don't know either. I know. Huh. Okay. So pregnancy can be a factor. So studies comparing the dreams of pregnant and non-pregnant women showed the infant and child representations were less specific in women who were not pregnant. So Ryan and I having dreams of a baby presence, not a specific baby.
Yeah, right. Which is also just like speaks to like the fact that like we know that that's a capability that we have, right? So whatever that interpretation could be, you know, there's a lot of things that that could symbolize, right?
Right.
You know,
yeah, no,
vulnerability,
that's true.
Yeah, vulnerability, like new beginnings, you know, something like that. Like there could be so many other reasons as to why babies are in our dreams.
Yeah, no, that's
and not in our wombs.
And not in our wombs, yes, yeah. So among those who were pregnant, these images were more likely in the late third trimester than in the early third trimester. During pregnancy, dreams are more likely to include the themes of pregnancy, childbirth, and fetuses.
Hmm, interesting.
Which I'm sure there's a lot of, like, childbirth anxiety dreams going on.
Yeah.
As you get closer to your due date. Again, I have no idea. So, childbirth content was higher in the late third trimester than early in the trimester. The group who were pregnant had more morbid elements in their dreams than those who were not. I believe it.
I do believe it, but yeah. I mean, yeah, you have a lot going on. I mean, I get that. So much is changing internally, you know, probably externally as well. You know, like that's, there's just a lot of factors that play into that. So that makes sense.
Right. Like the baby is in you. Like that impending like childbirth is coming for like the people who aren't pregnant.
Yeah.
They're just dreaming, you know, there's a baby around. Not how it got there.
That's true. No, that's a good point. Yeah. And also, too, right, again, like, this is just what's hard because I just keep thinking about the biases, right? Like I know that, you know, with the anxiety that I just have on the daily versus, or not versus, but, like, with the anxiety that I have on the daily, and then you couple that with, like, having a dream, the dream might have not even be that anxiety-ridden, but because I feel that way, that might just be the way I interpret it, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes it's kind of hard. Like, I don't know if I've woken up when I have anxiety and been like, oh, that was like a really relaxing dream, you know?
Right.
Or maybe, I don't know. Oh, because actually sometimes that does happen where it's like, oh, I wish I could go back to dreaming that.
But, oh, that's true.
You know what I mean?
That's so true.
I guess it could happen. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm convinced.
It's good. So... next are caregivers. So those that give care to family or people who have long-term illnesses often have dreams related to that individual. A study following the dreams of adults that worked for at least a year with individuals in U.S. hospice centers noted that patients tended to be clearly present in the dream of caregivers, and the dreams were typically realistic. So in the dream, the caregiver typically... The caregiver typically interacted with the patient in their usual capacity, but was also typically frustrated by the inability to help as fully as desired.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, but also that goes back to, you know, you picturing yourself doing your morning routine, right? Mm. A lot of caregivers have very habitual routine-like ways with those patients, right? And so that right. totally makes sense that they're just like replaying how they would actually do that in real life.
Right. No, that's true. But I think that frustration might like also be tied to if it is someone who maybe has like a long-term illness.
Yeah.
Like, that's really interesting.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it does have some effect on your dreaming ego. Next one is bereavement. So it is widely believed that oppressive dreams are frequent in people who are going through a time of bereavement. A study analyzing dream quality as well as the linking of oppressive dreams and bereavement discovered that dreams were more frequent in the first year of bereavement, were more likely in those who experienced symptoms of anxiety and depression. And in another study of 278 people experiencing bereavement, 58% reported that dreams of their deceased loved ones with varying levels of frequency. Or, 58% reported dreams of their deceased loved ones with more frequency. That makes
sense. Which, yeah, you wonder if that brings, like, a sense of, like, calm, you know? Or if that's, like... can't even escape it in my dreams. You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah. Probably is, I mean, definitely subjective on like the circumstances right. around what happened. But
yes.
Right. Yeah. So also they said that most participants had dreams that were either pleasant or both pleasant and disturbing, and a few reported purely disturbing dreams. Yeah. This is still in regards to bereavement. Yeah. So prevalent themes included pleasant past memories or experiences, the deceased being free of illness, memories of the deceased's illness or time of death, the deceased in the afterlife appearing comfortable and at peace, and the deceased person communicating a message. Yeah. So 60% felt that their dreams impacted upon their bereavement process.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Whether that's, negative or positive, but it had some impact.
Right. Yeah. So, like it said, everyone dreams, but there are certain experiences or times in your life where things are going to be, you know, a little more prevalent.
Yeah.
A little more present.
And also, too, like, it makes sense because the way that your dream or the way that your sleep is impacted is going to affect the way that you, those dreams come into play, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, if you're not getting through all the cycles like we talked about, or, you know, or you're waking up a lot, which I'm always really curious as to why people wake up a lot during sleep. You know, like, some people just say that, yeah, I wake up, like, 3 to 4 times a night, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas some people don't wake up at all, you know, like, they just sleep through the night. So I'm always really interested in why that is. Obviously, there's multiple factors, but that would be something that I'd like to know about, because what makes you wake up out of whatever cycle you're in? You know what I mean? Is it dreaming, or is it, I don't know, is it other factors? Is it just, like, your bodily makeup? That's just, like, how it works, you know, for you?
Right.
You know, or your neuro makeup, whatever. But
right.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
All right, folks. So, got a lot to go. Look, we still have so much that we could say in this episode, but we are definitely going to bring it back for a part two to get into some more of the nitty gritty of actual dreams and what that looks like. But just to wrap up, we have some fast facts for you about dreaming. So, we may not remember dreaming, but everyone is thought to dream between 3 to 6 times per night. And it is thought that each dream lasts between 5 to 20 minutes. So, okay, so I'm sorry, I was completely off. I thought you had, like, thousands of dreams a night. Maybe I just mean over the lifespan, you have, like, thousands of dreams or something.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, 3 to 6 times per night, I mean, that's a lot of dreams, you know?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's still a lot.
Yeah, still a good, still a respectable number.
Yeah.
Around 95% of dreams are forgotten by the time a person gets out of bed. Dreaming can help you learn and develop long-term memories. And blind people dream more with other sensory components compared with sighted people. So this is really interesting, and there's a video about it on YouTube. It's about, it's just like Deaf Culture 101. So if you don't know, I'm an ASL interpreter. I work with deaf and hard of hearing communities pretty much every day. And one of the videos was just about kind of giving a few fun facts about, like, deaf folks, you know, like, the reality of their lives, things like that. And one of the people on there, he was talking about his daughter, who is hearing, but she signs with him, obviously, like, so she probably learned sign language as her first language, American Sign Language, and then she learned English, you know, through other people in her life, school, things like that. So she is bilingual. But he said one night he walked into her room and he saw her, like, arms moving, and she was signing. She was sleep signing. Like, she was actually signing physically with her hands while being asleep, which is very interesting because, you know, you talk in your sleep, right?
Right.
Folks who, you know, speak and hear, you know, talk in their sleep because they, you know, are receiving some auditory messages in their dreams or whatever. But she was actually had, like, a physical element to it, which is really interesting.
Oh, wow. That is interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know how much control you could say she has more than we have control talking in our sleep, right?
Right.
But it is much more involved, obviously. That's interesting.
Right.
Super interesting. Which it makes you think, like, the other senses that can be used, right? Like, can you smell something in your dreams? You know, have you ever had a dream where you could, like, smell something?
Not that I can remember. Not, like, something specific that I can recall.
Right. However, if you were to smell something, right? Like, what if you had aromatherapy or, you know, you had, like, your what'd you get me?
Diffuser.
yeah. A diffuser. If you had your diffuser going and you were to smell something, like, how does that impact, like, what you're dreaming? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was a lot, you guys. And we have a lot more for you. So come back next week because we have some other really interesting stuff. And then we're going to get into some dream interpretations.
Oh.
Yeah. So, we'll see you then.
All right. See you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.